We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Jake Gutierrez on this Monday, July 27th, 2020. Oh, boy. All right. Monday. Monday would be nice to me. The beginning of a week that hopefully will be a good one. Looks like it's going to be some rain today, so we will get your forecast a little bit later on with Gary Lezak. And also, today on the show, we'll catch up with our friend Todd Lebo, who is always good to talk to you on a Monday, especially when there's so many things to wrap up like there is today. A lot of stuff happened over the weekend, so we will talk to Todd Lebo about that. Laura Sanko, our good friend from the USC, will join us. She'll be on the show around 8:30. Then Adam Teicher with ESPN, who covers the Chiefs, will be on the show at 9:05. We'll also hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire spoke. Willie Gay Jr., Lucas Niang, the rookies talked on Saturday, along with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And we'll hear from those fine gentlemen from the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll also hear the comments from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes about LDT, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, deciding to opt out of his contract for this year. So no LDT on the offensive line. But the Chiefs did not waste any time going out and finding his replacement. And so that was an interesting few hours on Saturday that end up with the Chiefs and Kelechi Osemele now signed to their offensive line, former Pro Bowler, and a guy that we'll see. I mean, health is obviously going to be an issue with him, but could very well end up a very nice signing for Brett Veach. Very nice to have someone of that talent level available to replace LDT as we get ready to start the 2020 version of training camp. And so we'll talk about that today. Obviously, that's a big story. And then you've got the Royals, who finally were back in action. They lose 2 out of 3, but they had an exciting day on Saturday and won an extra innings. And we saw Brady Singer make his major league debut, and he looked really, really good doing it, striking out 7 and 5 innings. And so that was the good news. The games on Friday and Sunday, not so good, even though Danny Duffy was okay. He looked all right. But the bullpen day that took place yesterday was pretty much a disaster. But in between there, the Royals were able to get an exciting extra inning win, and it was very, very exciting to see Brady Singer pitch very well in his major league debut. And so we've got Royals baseball to talk about as well, and then Sporting Kansas City late last night. If you didn't see it, it started at 10 p.m., and Sporting is able to advance. Nate Buchady was calling the match. Nate, tell people what happened last night in case they went to sleep anytime before midnight.
Well, yes. So how does this sound? Does this sound terrible?
Yeah. Yes.
Can't do it. Okay.
Yeah, it sounds absolutely horrible.
How about that?
Absolutely.
There you go.
Yeah, all right.
He's wearing a shield. He was trying to protect everybody in the studio.
I was wearing a face shield that has a Sporting Kansas City logo on it that's going to be available for sale at the next watch party for the Sporting Kansas City games. But it's great because you can actually see someone's facial expressions and what they're doing while you're wearing the face shield, but it doesn't work
well
as a microphone.
Not good for radio. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm taking
that
off for now.
What part of that is great?
It's a pretty
face. Seeing my beautiful face? Oh, you don't think people want to see my amazing face or your amazing face?
No, but the reason I want to wear a mask because I don't want people to see me.
Ah, well,
that's one of the joys of this.
I mean, I want to see your amazing beard. I want to see everything. I want to see that wonderful smile you have.
I don't want anyone to see me.
Well,
I honestly, I don't want to see
anyone. Why you want to hide that beautiful mug from the world?
I have a special mask that hides everything. Well. I've been told that when I go out and I look like the Invisible Man with hat, glasses, and a face mask.
I like that.
There's nothing you could see.
I like that.
So, yeah, so do I.
Well, Sporting Kansas City got a big win last night in a weird way. I'm not going to use the word dominated. They controlled the game, but they had 35 shots and never scored against this young rookie goalkeeper of Vancouver. Some of that's because he made some good saves. Some of that's because they wasted some really good opportunities. But it went all the way to a full 90 minutes, still scoreless, and so it went to penalties. And Tim Melia was amazing in penalties. The post stopped one, and then he saved two of the other three penalties that he saw. And Sporting Kansas City won in penalties, so they're going on to the quarterfinals on Thursday night at 7 o'clock against the Philadelphia Union.
So what time is that going to be again?
That'll be at 7 o'clock, an actual manageable time for a normal, regular kickoff time, 7 o'clock on Thursday.
It's going to be kind of weird. Right. Sporting's up next, midnight on Thursday.
Right.
Watch Sporting Kansas City in action.
It was well past midnight by the time we wrapped that game up last night.
Did you enjoy that more than the 8 a.m. start? Or less?
Less. At this point in my life, I'm much more used to getting up early than I am staying up late. So for me, I enjoyed the morning game a little bit more. But hey, this was knockout round soccer, and that's always dramatic, even if... the fact that the game was scoreless, there are some scoreless games that are really, really boring. But that was not one. That was a game that was scoreless that was like just maddeningly frustrating. Like it was, you were watching the whole time knowing, gosh, if Sporting doesn't score here, what's going to happen? Are they going to blow this game if they don't get a goal? Or are they going to finally score on one of these 35 shots? And, of course, they never did, so it went to penalties, and penalties are never boring. So it was as exciting of a 0-0 game as you can have. And fortunately for Sporting, they've got maybe the best penalty stopper in the history of American soccer in Tim Melia. And he was amazing again. I don't know how. Like, I keep waiting for him to have like a penalty shootout or something where he has a run where he just can't stop any penalties, but it hasn't happened in his career. He's amazing at stopping penalties, which... goalkeepers are not supposed to be able to do very consistently because of the nature of the job. It's 80% proposition usually, at least, that the guy is going to score on you from these penalties, but not on Tim Melia. He was amazing.
So how is he able to do that, Jake Pounders?
I try to watch and figure it out. It is mind-boggling at the rate. You do expect every time he steps up to a penalty, you expect some kind of regression, but the consistency is utterly, it's like nothing I've seen before. I think it's preparation meets just pure reaction, right? He's prepared, he has an idea of what he wants to do, and then he steps up and executes it, but so much of it has to do with just being able to react to the other player. But I think there is a level of scouting that goes into it, being able to read the player, and it's just instinct. He's got an unbelievable instinct of where the guy's being able to, you know, read where the guy's going, and it's all instinct and nature. He's naturally gifted at penalties. I've never seen anything like it, honestly. I mean, there's guys that are good at penalties, and then there's Tim Melia, who's cuts the...
Well, it's crazy
the
how
numbers
often
are unbelievable.
How often he guesses the right way. I mean, when you say that, like, that's kind of what keepers have to do, right, Jake? On penalties, you pretty much have to guess and decide which way you're going to dive before the guy even kicks it or as he's kicking it, because you don't have time to just stand there and wait for him to shoot and then dive to one side or the other.
There's a lot of different approaches, right? You have an idea where you want to go, and then you it is a level of guessing, but, you know, it's not just straight. Some guys just straight, I'm going this way no matter what.
Right.
And that's where they go. And some guys, I'm going to read it. I want to go here. I think he's going to go here. And then you get to the penalty and you have that feeling, okay, I'm going to trust my gut.
He saved one of them yesterday. He took like two steps to his left before the guy even shot. He stayed on his line, so it was legal, but he took two steps to his left before the guy even shot. And so, yeah, he just kind of caught it. Like he was, he has this amazing knack. He gives a lot of credit to the coaches for giving him all this information, but it's got to be more than that. Jake just showed that penalty on the on 38th spot where he took a couple steps to his left and then almost basically could have saved it with his chest. It's amazing. There was one penalty a couple years ago against Real Salt Lake where the guy tried to chip it right down the middle, because a lot of guys will try to do that because, like I said, the keeper will dive one way or the other as soon as the guy kicks it, and so they'll take themselves out of the play almost if you just chip it right down the middle. And he tried that on Tim, and Tim didn't move a muscle and just caught it, you know, with his bare hand or with his hands. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know if he's got some kind of Jedi mind control or what, but it's incredible. He's 5-0 in penalty shootouts in his professional career.
And that other kid was really good. And he was, was either third string guy?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Their starting goalkeeper broke his finger in the tournament. Their backup goalkeeper's mother passed away during the tournament, so he had to leave and couldn't come back to the bubble. So yeah, they're down to their third string keeper who had never made a Major League Soccer appearance before this competition. And he was really good. He played great.
How good was that kid, Jake?
Oh, he was the game changer last night. I mean, that's the only reason Vancouver was in the match, in my opinion. And then he just got some confidence and started making some big time saves. But I mean, that was the best result Vancouver could have hoped for last night. Outside of winning the match. But going into the game, you say, you know, you get the penalties, they'll say, yeah, okay, sign us up, we'll take that. I mean, that honestly was probably their best odds-on chance to win the game, is get this game to penalties. I mean, they were so outmatched. I think they were a heavy underdog in Vegas. Mm-hmm. And I think of any of the round of 16 games, it was the biggest, Sporting was the biggest favorite in Vegas. So,
did you get any action on that one?
It wasn't. I mean, no. I mean, the money would have been to play for a draw. I mean, because the game was a draw.
Yeah.
So, but they were like -280. So I'd have to put $280 down. To win 100.
Well, yeah. It looked to me like Jacob Peterson and I were talking during the broadcast. About 25 minutes in, it looked like they were starting to stall for time. You know, like, you don't usually see that tactic.
Go to the corner?
Yeah. I mean,
like the 65th minute.
Yeah. Well, in the first half, Ali Adnan, like, did this whole shenanigans when he went to, take a corner kick where he set the ball, 6 inches off the line and then argued because the ref was like, you got to put it on the line to kick the corner. And he argued with him.
He never
moved
the ball, actually.
He never moved it. And it was all clearly just so he could stall because they were just trying to get that thing.
I mean, they were thin. I mean, didn't even have a backup goalkeeper, couldn't fill out a full roster. I mean, that was a wounded team. Then they played their hearts out,
and
they were led by a phenomenal performance by a young goalkeeper who looks, it was super impressive to me last night. I think he was the story of the match.
Two starts, two clean sheets for him.
Phenomenal. I mean, he's 21 years old, and that's a budding young star. It's a great prospect to have in their organization. He's a Canadian kid, so, high praise for that young man. He should hold his head up high. You lose on a penalty shootout after your second start in the MLS, not giving up a single goal in the run of play. He has a lot to be proud of. So Sporting gets the win, but some of those finishes he made great saves on, but in some of them he made just the standard save where they just didn't take full advantage of the situation.
Well, and also a lot of shots that weren't on target.
Yeah.
And Graham Smith must have had about 5 wide open headers that he put every one of them over the bar.
Over the top, yeah.
Yeah, so for Sporting, that's the frustrating part is they've played a lot of games like that over the years where they've controlled the game and had a lot of shots but couldn't score. But that's why they went out and spent a lot of money on guys like Alan Pulido and Gadi Kinda, and they've already got Johnny Russell, and guys like that. So those games weren't really supposed to happen so much this year. They hadn't to this point. Sporting scored more goals, I think, in the first five games of this year than any season they played before. They scored 13. They've been much more clinical this season, but that game they were not. So, but they lived to tell about it, and that's all that really matters at the end of the day.
And also over the weekend, as we mentioned earlier, the Royals lost 2 out of 3 in Cleveland. They lost 2-0 on Friday. They won in extra innings 3-2 on Saturday, and then lose yesterday 9-2. And as a team, for the three-game series, they struck out 40 times in the three games. So 40 strikeouts. Not very impressive. Or actually, really impressive, to be honest with you. 18 strikeouts on Friday, 7 strikeouts on Saturday, and then 15 strikeouts as a team on Sunday, and they lose 2 out of 3. Tonight, they will take on the Detroit Tigers up in Detroit. And we'll see if, the Tigers somehow are 2-1 to start things off. And so they are supposed to be the worst team in the division. Hopefully the Royals can turn things around and get a couple of wins against the Detroit Tigers starting tonight. And, of course, we have the news of LDT opting out for next season. So we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. And Justin Verlander may be out for the rest of the season. So one of baseball's best pitchers could already be done for this abbreviated 2020 season. Several people reporting that he's done. And then he went on Twitter and said, "Not so fast, my friend. I'm not done yet. Hopefully I'll be back in a couple of weeks. But the season will be over in a couple of weeks." And so we'll see if Justin Verlander indeed is out for the season. We will take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38th The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll hear some comments from Mike Matheny, Royals manager, in the next segment. But here we will hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes talking about Laurent Duvernay-Tardif and his decision to opt out of the 2020 season. He becomes the first player to announce he was opting out of the 2020 season. And this was not long after the NFL and NFL Players Association came to an agreement on terms for training camp. And so let's first hear from Andy Reid discussing LDT.
Yeah, so listen, I'll start with Larry. I'm a huge Larry Duvernay-Tardif fan. So I'm, and I also was raised by a doctor. So I understand the dedication that it takes to be a doctor. We're all blessed to have doctors in our lives. They're givers, they're not takers, they're givers, and they're healers. So they want the best for you. And so Larry has that quality. And you're seeing it to the utmost here. I just think it's tremendous dedication to his profession, what his future is going to be, and mainly to the people that he gets to help. And so my heart goes out to. I had a great talk with him, great visit with him. His players support him. The veteran players support him, and the coaches support him, and we know, you know, we understand when football is over, this is going to be one of the greatest doctors ever. So it's we appreciate that. The great thing about doctors, the ones that I've been in touch with over my life here, and like I said, I was raised by one, and I've got three of my closest friends are doctors. So they're givers, man. They and they're not the takers. So they're very humble people that want to help you and heal you. And they're not out looking for, like Larry, they're not out looking for the pat on the back that they're doing this or that. They're not looking for attention. I mean, Larry is buried in. He's not looking to do interviews and all of this stuff. He's buried in and trying to get the work done that he needs to heal people. And man, I mean, what a dedication that is and a love that is. I'm so happy and proud of him. As far as the setup here and feeling like we're in a safe environment. I think people have gone to great ends to do this. We're as safe as you can be here. Like I said on this, so Adam, dedicate the dedication and staying disciplined when you leave this facility will be important. When you're here, this is a safe environment, and so you've got to continue that once you leave here. And so that ends up being important, and we have a plan for that too. So that we'll talk to the players about. You know, so I feel good about it myself. I feel good about it. Yes.
That was Andy Reid in his opening statements from his media opportunity that took place on Saturday. Andy Reid had lots of nice things to say about LDT. Did not talk about his fingers during this opportunity, as he has chosen to in the past when discussing LDT, the doctor, or his phalanges. And so,
right, big old phalanges.
I was waiting to hear that from Andy Reid, but he never said anything. And so shame on anyone who didn't get a chance to follow up and ask about that. Well, that's good, Andy. What about his fingers? I'm like, oh, well. Doggone it, fellas, let me tell you.
Still big enough, I don't want him inside me, you know?
Well, wow.
I think that's what he said, wasn't it?
Just get right to it, don't
you? Yeah.
And so there was Andy Reid. Let's hear now from the Super Bowl MVP, Patrick Mahomes II. We'll hear his Zoom call in its entirety in the 7 o'clock hour. But first, let's hear how Patrick Mahomes reacted to the news of LDT opting out for this year.
Yeah, I mean, for everybody that absolutely, everybody respects the decision 100%. I mean, Larry's a guy who loves football, but he also loves his other passions, and being a doctor is extremely important, especially at this time that we're at in this world. And so for him, I know it's difficult for him. He wants to be out here with us. He wants to be a part of us. He wants to be a part of the guys. But at the same time, he wants to make sure he's doing something to make the world a better place, and I believe that he is doing that. He's seen it firsthand, and he understands that he needs to be in that place now, and we're going to respect it and give him as much support as we can.
And then after the Chiefs addressed everything in the media, they addressed some things on the field. And I read from the article written by Adam Teicher at ESPN.com, who will be on the show in the 9 o'clock hour. Faced with the sudden loss of a second starting guard from last season's Super Bowl, the Chiefs moved to fill the void by agreeing to terms of a one-year contract with veteran Kelechi Osemele, a source said. The move was first reported by Yahoo Sports. The 31-year-old is an 8-year NFL veteran with 3 teams, most recently the New York Jets, a 2-time Pro Bowler, formerly with the Oakland Raiders. He was at his best in the silver and black, and hopefully he still has some good football ahead of him. He was a 2-time Pro Bowler with the Raiders in 2016 and 17, and was named first-team All-Pro in 2016. He played in 3 games for the Jets last season before injuring his shoulder. He said he had a torn labrum. The Jets fined Osemele after he declined to practice and for having surgery that wasn't authorized by the team. He was then released, and he was still available when the Chiefs needed him to add him to the mix. We could talk a little bit more later about the depth chart, which, you know, they've got several guys that will be battling for the starting spot now. This was a very good move that the Chiefs were able to make to try to help replace LDT. Very good. That was if they can somehow get him healthy and get him on the field, that is going to be a fine replacement for LDT. But they also have some other guys. Remember, they added Mike Remmers in free agency. They still have Martinez Rankin, who they acquired from the Texans last year, that they like a lot. Andrew Wiley. You know, they drafted Lucas Niang. So they've got some options there for to replace LDT as he opts out for 2020. Nate Bucati, Jake Gutierrez, your reaction to the news from LDT.
First of all, stud. What an absolute stud LDT is, and I hope he's Walter Payton Man of the Year, unless somebody else comes up and does something that that I don't know about. But to pass up $2.75 million to play a game for a Super Bowl defending champ in order to work basically as an orderly. I mean, we know he is a doctor, but because of what they're asking him to do. He basically went to the government, that runs the medical community in Canada, and said, "Where do you need help right now during this pandemic? Where do you need help?" And they wanted it in the long-term care facilities. And he had not done, I don't think, his residencies or whatever they call it in Canada there to officially work in the capacity as a doctor in that situation. So he's basically working as an orderly or a nurse and helping people who need help in the situation of a pandemic and risking his own health in doing so. And so to me, the guy's an absolute hero, as is every medical care professional, by the way, that's helping us during this situation. But most of those healthcare professionals, as heroic as they are, they don't have the chance to take $2.7 million to go play a game elsewhere. Maybe a lot of them would make that same choice, but what a choice that is from LDT. And it's I don't see how you can do anything but respect the heck out of it and be proud that he's been part of this organization and hopefully, you know, comes back and is able to play again at some point in time. And in terms of the move, I'm with you. Osemele, I remember watching him when he was on the offensive line at Iowa State back when I did the sidelines of KU football, and He's a good player. He's only 31 as well. So, I mean, obviously he's on the wrong side of 30, but not that far on the wrong side of 30. So I think that's like you said, that's a really good bit of business for the Chiefs to be able to make that move. And probably I feel like should be able to just go right along with that replacement there at guard for LDT.
No, a lot of things change in a couple of years, but I mean, he's not that far removed from being in the top 100 NFL players and being considered one of the best guards in the NFL. So if they can get him, I mean, just anywhere close to that,
yeah,
that would be obviously that would be huge for the Chiefs in their efforts to have the proper offensive line that they need to protect the wonderful Patrick Mahomes II. Before we break, Jake, any comments on LDT opting out?
I mean, you certainly respect the decision, and, if there's anybody who's probably more educated than a normal football player, it'd be that man. So his decision is an educated one. It's based on, it's hard to look at that situation and question anybody who decides to do that. Because in the time that we're in, we all have to make decisions based on what's best for us. And that's what this man's doing. What a hard decision that would have been for me. It may have been a hard one for him. It may have been a really easy one for him. I don't know. I'd like to, hear his thoughts as we move forward. I'm sure he'll come out with some kind of statement or be available to the media at some point, hopefully. And I've a lot of respect for that kind of a decision. And that kind of any time that I've had any dealings with LDT, this goes right in line with the kind of guy, the vibe that I get from him when I've met him and we've done interviews with him is this exact kind of action. So it falls in line with what I thought about the guy beforehand, and mad respect to that guy. Hats off to him.
Well,
for sure.
He posted a statement on social media explaining his answer, and he did it both in French and in English.
Right.
And the one thing I would say,
I did read that. Yeah, it's a great statement.
The one thing
Jake
I would say,
Jake only read the one in French.
But I would say, I don't have any issue with any player who makes this decision based on their own self-interest. You know, whatever, they've got to look out for themselves. What impresses me so much about this one is, according to him, he's not making this decision based on his own self-interest. He's making it on the betterment of the community. He wants to help out. And that was the part of the statement that stood out to me so much is, if I'm going to take risks, it's going to be to help the community.
Was that in the English one or in the French one?
I read it in the French one.
And I'm going to have to...
French.
Exactly.
Champagne.
Yeah.
Action, please.
The French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
I hate to have to correct Jake, but Jake said it's hard for anyone to criticize LDT. Well, just look at some of the retweets that Nate offers up.
Yeah,
offers a nice platform for people to.
I was appropriately taking a dump when I read some of those. I did see Nate's tweet, and then I saw how many responses there were. I was like, oh boy, this is appropriate. Taking a dump, and these people are taking a dump on Twitter as well.
Right.
So, no, I just, it's, yeah, okay, sure.
Whatever. The vast majority of people understand what's going on, though.
And the other ones just like to be Twitter trolls.
Nate engages.
He does.
Nate will give him the time of day.
I will not, but I will.
You ever?
I will. I'll step up to the plate. I'll read. I'll read all about it. Nate, go ahead.
Ever wonder like why do people waste time trolling on Twitter? How they're not going to get a reaction? Oh yeah, they are. I know a guy. You're looking to troll. I know a guy. Nate, you do engage, don't you?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you're gonna tweet something like that, I want people to see it. If you want to put your name on that, I want people to see that you're putting your name on that.
Or you could say that you, with thousands and thousands of followers, were giving someone with a couple of followers a platform they normally wouldn't get.
That's true. That's one way to look at it.
Yeah, it just depends on how you look at it. But you know what? You ain't going to take that from nobody, are you?
I was not in the mood to hear people blasting a guy who's walking away from millions of dollars to help, you know, the community. So, yeah, you're right. I probably should have just ignored it.
Nah, look, hey, that's the way, look, everyone's different on Twitter. But
I ignore a lot of trolls on Twitter, but not all of them.
Right.
I wasn't in the mood to ignore that.
Jake liked it. Jake, his description of how he read it was interesting, I think. That certainly painted a picture for all of us.
It was honest. That's
what we want from you.
You know.
We want nothing go fishing. But honesty from
got
you.
Nate.
I'm afraid to ask, did the phalanges clip get erased in the transition?
No, it didn't. I just
okay, good.
I went away from it.
I just want to make sure.
I told him, though, I said this. He's got the biggest hand you've ever seen, and his fingers are like little baseball bats. And so I said, I will not let you do surgery on me. There's no way with those big phalanges that you're going to get inside of me, man.
And that's good now because it's baseball season. You know, LDT's walking away from the season of football, but he's still got, as a tribute to the Royals, little baseball bats for fingers. And so that's why it's such a good clip to play. Thank goodness that wasn't erased. We will be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
They're like little baseball bats. And so
welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. The Royals back in action. They're playing tonight against the Detroit Tigers. They lost 2 out of 3 over the weekend to Cleveland. Unfortunately. But, boy, Saturday was fun, wasn't it? How about that Brady Singer?
Oh, boy.
Damn, he looked good.
Yeah, he did.
And maybe the most impressive thing, I mean, the 7 strikeouts were nice, but the one inning where he gave up the couple of runs, getting out of that jam, pitching out of that and trying to minimize the damage and not letting the entire start unravel was very, very good. I was very impressed by Brady Singer. Here is Mike Matheny. And he wraps up the weekend and tells us how he thinks his team battled in Cleveland.
We competed well these first two games, right? And that's what we want to see every single night. Is we're right in the middle of this fight, right down to the last. I believe that's part of the DNA of this organization, this particular group. So that's something I think we're all going to demand to see. But this was a day where we also needed to get people on the field and be able to take some of the load off the other guys who've been working so hard. Overall, you know, I think when we got ourselves into position to where we could be in that fight, like what we saw, and we've got to clean some things up. Overall, our walks are scoring at an extremely high rate. Our mistakes are scoring at an extremely high rate. We've talked about this since the very first breath of this season of how we can't afford to give up bases, and we got to make sure we're cleaning that up. Strikeouts, like I said, Danny, I think it's where we are in this season, and you get to see your own guys over and over again, and you get to pick up the break that they have. I think that's going to be something that we're going to be able to adjust to pretty quick, but certainly it's an issue right now.
18 strikeouts on Friday for the Royals hitters, 7 on Saturday, but then 15 yesterday. So the whiff was in full effect. in Cleveland. Let's take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll talk to Todd Lebo, Gary Lezak, Laura Sanko, and Adam Teicher. Between now and 10 o'clock, we'll hear all of Patrick Mahomes' comments in their entirety coming up just after 7 o'clock. And we'll get more from Andy Reid and some of the other players, the rookie class that spoke to the media on Saturday. Also, Rick Burkholder spoke with the media as well. And so we will hear that between now and 10 o'clock. And again, the Royals are back in action tonight. Boy, it is. I have to get used to this now. There's a game every night. This is. They used to do this all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Have games every night. It's different.
Oh, it's going to get crazy, guys. I mean, at the end of this week, we're going to have NBA going. We're going to have NHL going. You got Major League Baseball going. We're going to be a weekend at Chiefs training camp. I mean, yeah.
Gosh, I'm excited to watch the NBA.
Yeah.
It's actually something that Phil will, sounds like, will allow me to be a part of.
All right.
In his life. And so, very. As soon as I say that.
Not anymore, Dad.
Dad, I'd like to watch this game alone.
Could you go watch this somewhere else?
Right. Dad, could you please?
Aren't you supposed to be in the basement?
Could you go back downstairs, please? I'm watching this on Zoom with my friends. I don't know, something. He'll have some kind of excuse. But I'm ready for it. But the Royals against the Tigers, just after 6 o'clock tonight. And hopefully we won't see another bullpen game for a while. That was rough to watch. I mean, look, considering what the expectations were, I think you had to be pretty happy with what you saw from the first two starts from Royals pitchers between Danny Duffy and Brady Singer. But the bullpen day left a lot to be desired. Mike Montgomery tonight for the Royals against Michael Fulmer. Although, going back to Saturday, the Royals' bullpen was excellent. Now, we didn't see really any of those guys on Sunday, but, man, and really interesting, as the week goes on, I want to talk to all of our different baseball guests about the aggressive way that Mike Matheny used his bullpen, because in that game, tied at two after Brady Singer offers up five innings, he went right to Ian Kennedy.
Loved it.
Who fired off two scoreless innings. And then to Trevor Rosenthal, who looked fantastic. He looked terrific. And he only pitched an inning but had two strikeouts. Scott Barlow did not look terrific, but he was able to navigate his way through that jam and had the bases loaded and was able to get out of it in the ninth inning. I thought the game was over. I thought there was no chance Barlow was going to get out of that. And then Greg Holland comes in. The Indians were not able to escape the leadoff runner being on second base in the 10th inning without allowing him to score. Greg Holland was able to do it by striking out the side. So Greg Holland for the save on Saturday as the Royals get their only victory so far of the season. 3-2. That was a really fun game to watch. We'll talk more about it after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. The show continues right now on Sports Radio 810 WHB.